Yeah.
All right. All right, rolling.
Shit. Those are the only numbers I can't add together.
7
right?
plus 6
See?
Is 13.
See? This would be terrible.
Wow.
I told you. Fucking told you.
Oh, wow. With an 18.
18.
Mmm, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Watch this shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
19!
Woo! Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to our fourth ever episode of Keyfort, a podcast about playing Keyforge in a fort with friends. This week,
we want to talk about amber, how you get it, how you keep it, and how much you want. You want all of it.
But as it turns out...
So you guys have no idea what amber is?
No.
And why everybody's trying to get it?
No.
No, we you know, kind of like...
Did you look it up?
And the guys try to make some big predictions.
I think it's right in the middle. I think it'll go at least 2-2, is what I think. Maybe 3-1. No, 1-3 is what I mean. It's got potential to win a game, I think. Maybe 2.
Let's open up the fort.
Hello and welcome to Keyfort. I'm Jeff.
I'm Dan.
I'm Scott.
And we're joined here by our gamer and producer buddy, Jason. Today we're going to talk about amber.
We're going
to talk about opening strategies, and we might even pop a freshie and give you an update on last week's.
Fort Report.
In this edition of the Fort Report, we've got Fort 20 and National Record Store Day. We narrowly avoided another April snowstorm, you guys, today. We were supposed to get 1 to 2 inches of snow in this late April, which would have, I think, crushed all of our spirits at this point.
Super sad.
But instead, it's 44 degrees outside. It looks like there was a slight sprinkle. It's 55 degrees in the fort this morning. We've got Mr. Buzzy on, giving us a little heat.
Just Jason, really.
Just Jason, yeah. It's pointed right at Jason. Actually, I can get a little bit of it. If I move this chair, I can get a little bit more. There we go. Ooh.
It's not fair.
That's nice. It was record store day last Saturday. We bought a bunch of records from the record store, including a $5 mystery pack that had a whole bunch of random stuff in it. And that was kind of fun because we put it on and introduced some new people to the fort with some turn of the century folk music. That was kind of fun, Jason.
We got some Joan Baez. What else did we get?
Well, there was that popular songs from the turn of the century, and
yeah,
the question was which century, and it turns out it was the 19th. It was awful.
Yeah, I bought a pinback album. You got some kind of crazy album that Jason loved. What was that? What was that band name? Do you remember?
Knife Knights.
Knife Knights.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
It was terrible.
I don't know.
It was noise.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it at the time. I think it scared a lot of people. I would put it back on and give it another shot. I only bought it because it came with a really rad poster.
Yeah, it's super neat.
There were highlights and lowlights aplenty in this week's league update. Jeff goes up for 3-0, and Dan goes 0-3.
Yep, I'm kind of discovering that I might be really bad at this game. But it's still fun.
And finally, Fort 20. Jeff, your dad was in town this weekend, and I got to witness firsthand disappointment when he realized what his son is doing with all of his free time. You have anything to say about that?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He's like, wait, you guys do what in here? You have what's a podcast? Wait, what's it about? We tried to get him to play the game. That didn't work. And then we tried to get him to record some sound bites, and that didn't work either. He was pretty shy.
He took some pictures, though.
He did take some good pictures of the fort.
Yeah, he had Liz and I put our hands both in our ember bucket, like we were getting ember out.
No.
And I wanted to tell him, like, this is not, you know, there's no reason for two hands to be in this ember pot. This is not a realistic photo, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. He made us put both of our hands in the ember pot for the picture's sake. But
it's a little weird.
I was not aware of that.
It is weird. There's no reason for us to be touching the ember pot at the same time.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Unless there's going to be new cards that come out that say, grab all the ember you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, hungry hippos style.
It'd be kind of fun. All right, and that brings us to this week's gaming fortune. It's brought to you by Dis Stain. Dip your tip in dis.
Okay.
Obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off the goal.
What? Okay.
May that be the key to your fortune.
All right, great.
Good one. Good one.
All right, this week we want to talk about Amber.
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 Yeah, and how you get it, how you keep it, and how much you want. You want all of it.
Yeah, and what the hell is it?
Right, yeah, it's...
Do you have any idea what Amber is?
No, I haven't read any kind of fiction.
Do you have any idea what Amber is?
Yeah, it's the stuff on John Hammond's cane from Jurassic Park with the mosquito stuck in it. That's how all the dinosaurs...
Trying to make dinosaurs? Is that... We're trying to unlock the key to dinosaurs?
I'm pretty sure.
I think I like that better than whatever the fiction is, because dinosaurs are cool.
I'd love to see like a dino house come in, like just freaking wild card. Just like,
what would be the dino house?
I mean, they could come in as untamed, no problem.
Yeah, you could get dinosaurs
in
untamed.
You can put dinosaurs in untamed.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Yep.
So you guys have no idea what Amber is?
No.
And why everybody's trying to get it?
No.
No, we you know, kind of like...
Did you look it up?
Yeah.
No, I didn't, but I watched a game design interview or presentation with Brad Andries.
Oh, okay.
This morning.
Cool.
Just randomly.
Okay.
I want you guys to make a guess. What do you think it is?
I think it's the thing you are physically making the keys out of. You're like putting it within a mold, and then it makes a key.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
But what is it?
It's solidified magic. I don't know.
According to Brad Andries, amber is native to the Crucible. It grows pretty much everywhere and is a psychoreactive substance, meaning that it responds to the hopes, dreams, and thoughts of people that hold it or try to use it.
Mm, okay.
Whoa.
That's it.
Which makes shadows very creepy, right? Because they're stealing
your
hopes and dreams of people.
Perfect.
So how much of it do you want to turn, I guess?
All of it.
Yeah, pretty much all of it.
As much as you can get.
I think you want an average of like one or two a turn.
Yeah, to me, it depends on what key I'm trying to forge.
Sure.
And,
early on, you can...
And what stage of the game
I'm in. You can care about less, but later on, you want to hit big.
Towards the end of the game, for the third key, I'm not feeling comfortable unless I'm generating 4 or 5 amber per turn.
Well, it depends on what your opponent is, too. If they're shadows, you need a crap load more.
Or dis.
Or dis, yep, exactly.
For sure. Yeah, dis target is always 9 for me.
Yeah.
You know, because there's...
Minimum.
There's always those, what are they called? The
Lash of Broken
Dreams.
Lash
of Broken Dreams. Yeah. And the charrettes with the capture.
Yep.
Capture 4.
Yep.
Right? So... My target is always 9 or 10 when I'm playing against Disc for the win. Shadows is kind of an interesting opponent too, because you always got to be watching for those bait and switches. You might not want to generate more than your target. I always view capturing as generation as well.
How so? Because it gets back to you, right?
I view it as once it gets captured, it's stolen basically.
Yeah.
And then I always just keep it there until I need it.
Sure.
I'm fine with it being stolen, especially playing against Shadows, because if it's captured across the board for me, then I don't worry about it. It's going to come back to me eventually. It's going to come back to me when I need it.
Except for that, what's that one card that takes it from the captured?
There's a Mars card
lets an
opponent creature captures from its own side.
And that's
so it's like a delayed steal.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like a delayed steal, which is pretty legit. So I've got a theory. I think we touched on it before, but I feel like there might be a correlation between the number of free Amber in a deck.
Amber.
And whether it's a banger or a bomb, because I just kind of thought about it at one point and started looking at all my bangers, and they had like 6, 7, 8 free Ember. And there are other decks that have like 14 or 15.
And I think you did that counting when you were pretty early on in the game, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that might be changing, because Noth has a completely different point of view on it.
I do too.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
starting to come around on it, because late game, even in leagues, the other night against Noth, I had 5 Ember just sitting in my hand waiting. So I knew I could just dump a hand and I'm sitting on my third key.
For sure.
I've kind of come around on that.
Yeah. They definitely use it as a scale of power mechanic with the algorithm and certain cards, right? Like there's weaker cards that might be more or less valuable at certain times of the game that have an amber put on it so that it can give you something instead of discarding it.
Right. I think they also seem to put it on cards that you don't always want to play, like the Shadows.
The Poison Wave?
Poison Wave. Yeah.
You don't always want to play that, but it gets you an amber. So maybe you'll just eat that 2 damage on everything.
Ugh.
So like that gets into like what I find fun about this game is the opposing decisions that you have to make. You have to choose your house per turn, which has so many different variables in it. and then all these cards that like, okay, this is going to do something bad to me, but it's also getting me closer to my goal. So I'm going to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's really fun about this game is it's all about getting Amber at all costs.
Yep.
And if that's sacrificing board control, if that's even helping out your opponent a little bit, it's just a sprint to the finish. There really is no long play strategy or setup, in my opinion. A lot of times you're forced to just dump a hand, even though it's not optimal, because it's better to get what you can get and move on and try to top deck, you know, four or five cards of a house in one hand.
Yeah, cycling your hand is key, unless you're just completely jittering amber hand over fist with what you've got.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. I want to get as many cards out of my hand as possible each turn.
Yeah.
There's really no reason to hold on to anything, really. Unless it's a miasma and you know that they're going to be forging next turn or something.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's why archiving pocket cards, you know, pocket cards are so powerful, because you can afford to keep your hand open and just know that you've got this thing. If you remember.
Right, yeah, I always forget about my freaking archive.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh,
Noth totally forgot about his archive, and it might have helped him in the first game. I want to move it on, kind of on the topic of burning your hand and cycling your hand. So opening strategies. We've all kind of had our theories about this. Scott, I know you prefer to go first.
I love going
second.
First.
I do too.
What are your thoughts? Because I like going second. You know, I'll mulligan to try to get four or five of a house, and I like to just clear the hand if I can, going second, and then draw back up another one. And that can usually get you a pretty hot start.
I feel like going first gives you more flexibility, because you can search for that unbalanced hand where you've got four and whatever, but those extra one drops that you've got from the other houses, that's what you want to play the first turn. And you can also mulligan, and it feels like it hurts less because you are down one card, but you only need one card. When you don't know what you're going to have in your hand, I feel like going first, it seems better to me.
Yeah, I love going first because you can really take a look at all of your cards that you get, and you get seven, right? And then you can either just pick one that's off house and set up a nice big turn next mm-hmm. turn. And I love having first turn plays. Noth loves first turn moms.
First turn moms.
Yeah. It's his favorite play.
Oh, yeah.
Mother.
It's a good play.
Put a mother card out where it takes your hand size up to seven. So you get to draw up to seven. Great, great first turn bomb.
Terror. From Dis.
Terror's great. You drop it down, you get two Amber.
Two Amber right away.
Mm-hmm. Just, that's great.
Yeah, no, the mom is kind of my favorite, too.
Yeah, the first turn mom is great.
Dan, you had a pretty progressive play last time we played. It was before last.
I was going second, and I dropped two moms.
Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, very progressive in this day and age.
That's
two moms.
Two moms, wow.
Yeah, Dan's like, neat. Second turn, draw up to eight.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and so what do you guys look for in your first hand? Like, what's an automatic mulligan for you, do you think?
I mean, if it's an even split, that's not what I want to see.
2/2/2
Yeah, if it's a bunch of creature targeting direct damage nonsense, that's not what I want to see. Really, you're looking for your stuff that's going to give you some momentum going forward.
Yeah, I want to see creatures.
I want to see creatures, yeah.
On the first turn, or maybe artifacts if it's an artifact-heavy deck and artifacts I can get like three of them out in one turn. If you're getting like poison waves or ammonia clouds or any of those board clears or action cards, you've got to scrap them.
If I see like two board clears, I'm like automatic mulligan.
Yeah, I really like artifacts with passive abilities.
Yep, those are great.
Because they just help you hit really hard off-house.
Really, artifacts are probably the safest first turn play because mm-hmm. they're not going to get smacked by your opponent's direct damage that they drew and were kind of like, oh, I don't like this, but oh, hey, there's a target.
Yeah, I think some of the most powerful hands, if you're going to go first, is to have an artifact, have like a 4/3 balance with an artifact, because then you can get an artifact out and then play that same house the next turn and use that artifact. It's always fun.
Yeah. What about any opening rituals that you might do before the game? I know that I have to get my stupid mat completely ready with all the keys in the right spot, like in an OCD way where everything has to be in its right spot. And then I need to look my opponent in the eyes and shake their hand and tell them, good luck, I hope you have fun.
Only at league night, though.
Yeah, I still enjoy that. It's nice.
I've never seen you do that.
I do it with Dan, and we haven't played yet in league.
All right.
It's true.
That's right. Jason, you played a game, right?
I did.
Congrats.
Did you win?
Yeah,
I did.
So starting strong.
Technically undefeated?
I'm undefeated.
Yeah, yeah. 2-0 with a bye?
No, I'm 3-0 now. Because I beat Ryan. I played twice.
Oh, right. Okay. 2-0 with a bye.
Yeah.
So 3-0.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's your technically undefeated. Is Jeff has had to go through three opponents to get to his 3-0, and you've only had to go through two.
Right.
Yeah.
But the next league night is next Tuesday, and you guys are going head to head, and there can only be one.
I'm gonna fucking destroy you.
We're gonna have to do it over like video chat because I'm not gonna be here.
Oh snap,
bitch!
Wait, no.
Jason's streak continues.
No, you're missing Deadlands. It's not next Tuesday. It's the Tuesday after.
Oh, I'll be here.
Yeah, you'll be here. You're gonna miss Deadlands. Your character's gonna be brooding in his room.
Yeah, Jerry Franklin's gonna be working on his muscle car just like in The Punisher. It's gonna be awesome. But yeah, Jason, you're freaking going down, man.
Your cards are gonna get soaked with your tears.
I have sleeves, dummy. That's so bad.
Oh, speaking of OCD mats, I want to touch really quickly on how weird it is that Dan doesn't use a mat, that he goes matless.
Yeah, I hate
mats.
I'm not comfortable with it at all.
The way I shuffle just does not mesh well with mats.
It just seems
sleeves catch on them.
It's just such a weird gamer thing to not have a mat. It's like you're just walking around with like a Winnie the Pooh outfit on. You know, you're just walking around with a shirt on.
Just Porky Pigging it.
Yeah, and at the same time, I dropped down this like $40 card box too. So
that's good,
right? You've got gear. You just it seems like somebody would have made a mat for you at this point. That they
maybe
would have understood.
Maybe I need to get a smooth mouse mat.
Yeah, one of those.
And a plastic, hard plastic. Yeah,
we have those hard plastic cutting board mats over there.
There you go.
You could use a cutting board. Like a little.
It doesn't sound very portable.
I don't know. It sounds kind of awesome just walking in with like a huge plastic board that you plop down and boom.
Maybe I'll start using an actual cutting board. I'll bring a cutting board out from the kitchen.
You get one of those big $200 booze boards.
Yeah.
It sits out there and it's like 20 pounds.
That way you can play Keyforge and have charcuterie.
Perfect.
At the same time. It'll be elegant. Damn it.
Should we pop some freshies?
We should pop some freshies.
I'm really excited to talk about last week's freshie.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
For those of you following along at home, it was called Gentrotuva, Spawn of Fullbred. And he's got some off-balanced arms, like some tentacles and some weird claw-looking thing. And it was Sanctum, Mars, and Logos. With three grabber jammers. And you guys know how I feel about Mars.
Yep.
Mars bangs.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Mars. But this might have changed my opinion on Mars.
Yeah, I think it did a little bit.
I definitely thought it was going to be pretty good. So, you know, Scott, why don't you tell us what its record is?
Well, I think it's 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the only loss coming in a single game, 2-hour match.
Yeah, that was stupid watching that.
Against my bangerest of bangers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was my wife, Liz, who it was her second time playing. So.
Yeah, she really learned the rules all about like Amber economy and target and exactly what you have to hit and when you have to hit it and that the race is sometimes a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
That's definitely a banger.
Definitely a banger.
Banger.
Banger alert.
Banger. Banger alert.
Banger alert.
Banger alert.
Banger alert.
Banger alert.
Got a banger alert.
Banger alert.
Yep.
You banged
hard. So just to recap, Jeff was right.
Jeff was right. I said it was not going to be a banger because I let my Mars hatred dictate my feelings. And Sanctum, I don't know, the Sanctum worked really well with it.
So it changed my impression of Mars a little bit. The Mars really carried it, I think.
Yeah.
Three grabber jammers and just the awful, awful synergy that it had playing off of itself.
Yep, and it had the right cards in Logos, and it had really good Sanctum to help anchor the Mars.
Yep.
It was good. It was just a good deck. It played really well.
And I think anytime you've got Mars and Logos together, it's a dangerous combination. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that now.
Yeah,
the archiving nonsense it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And adding Sanctum to a strong dual house is really nice because of the taunt and the board control that comes with that.
Yeah, if you get Sanctum out early, you kind of control the board and you can be reaping 2-3, you know, starting on turn 2 or turn 3. And it's hard to get those guys off the board. And yeah, I mean, Mars is just deadly. You know, the reason I beat Knopf in the first game in League last week is I had a Mars turn where I think I used 6 creatures in one turn.
Sure.
And just swung it. And he couldn't do anything about it. You know, I just pumped it up. So it's really swingy.
Yeah, looks like I was right.
Yeah, and in order to beat it, I had to bring a Shadows Logos deck that was all about drawn cards and board clearing and shatterstorming and
it's a super mean deck.
You know, it's just a deck that's designed to steal and destroy.
Popping freshies.
So let's open this freshie.
Yeah,
see what we got with this.
Let's
thing.
Do it. Let's do it.
Pop freshies. Popping freshies.
It's fighting me.
Popping
right.
freshies.
There's that thin red line.
Popping freshies.
Oh no.
Doot 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 doot. Jeff doesn't have fingernails.
I don't have fingernails.
For everyone listening at home, he just handed me the pack so that I could use my normal fingers
I don't
to get started for him.
I don't want to bite
here.
It.
There you go.
All right. Let's see what we're working with here. We've got Untamed, Logos, and Brobnar.
What's the name of the deck?
We're working with Librarian Henrietta Azuralune.
Okay.
And it's a purple one for those of you who care. I am not sure if there's
See,
a
See, it's
color.
Got a it's got a Witch of the Wilds in it and a Hunting Witch. Ooh, and a Nepenthe Seed. So that's kind of fun.
It's got 9 amber on the cards.
Towards the end of Logos, there's a Vespalon Theorist. Dan, can you remind me what that does?
It's a creature, cyborg scientist, power 2. So, elusive, reap, choose a house, reveal the top card of your deck. If it is of that house, archive it and gain 1 amber. Otherwise, discard it.
I love that.
That's money.
That sounds fun. And it has a Phoenix Heart, and that's the Brobnar card, the upgrade that returns it to the battlefield when it dies.
Hmm.
That's cool, too, with that Vespalon Theorist, I think is nice.
How many rares are in there?
It looks like there's 3 rares,
okay.
And not a lot of uncommon either. It looks like there's 4 uncommon, so 5 uncommon.
And Dan, you were saying how many amber?
9.
9? Hmm. That's kind of middle of the road, then.
Well, what do you guys think? Should we put it up for a vote?
Dang.
Banger or bomb bomb?
Yeah, I'm taking a look. Ooh, double Murmuk.
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 I don't know if I like it. Dan, remind me what Research Smoko does. It's kind of in the middle of Logos there.
Middle of Logos? Yeah. It's a power 2 creature mutant. Destroyed, archive the top card of your deck.
Oh, interesting. Okay. It could be fun. I think it's going to be fun.
It does sound fun. It does sound fun, and I think it could pop off.
I'm looking at the Brobnar right here. There's a bunch of on-play things, and there's no bouncing. Mm. Is there any bouncing in Logos? Let me look at this. I'm not seeing any. I mean, there's an archive card. I'm not, like, there's no synergy in the Brobnar, unfortunately.
There's double Bumpsy.
Yeah.
Which isn't great.
I think the hunting Witches and the Witch of the Wild is nice.
Yeah,
the Witch of the Wilds
that works
is great.
Well with Brobnar.
And the Nepenthe Seed, it's got some cool synergies, and the Nepenthe Seed lets you make sure that you can always keep it going if you can get it going. It's got some good synergies. It's got the Scrambler Storm, which is great.
I think
this thing could bang, but it's going to have to get a good draw.
If I have to call it, I'm going to say no.
I'm not a banger. I'm looking forward to playing it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but I think it's going to be middle of the road, especially with just 9 Ember.
Yeah, I don't think this is a banger or a bomb bomb. I think it's right in the middle. I think it'll go at least 2-2. That's what I think. Maybe 3-1. No, 1-3 is what I mean. It's got potential to win a game. I think maybe 2. That's what I'm going with.
You should go into politics.
Not a bomb bomb. Not a banger.
Hmm. Oh, very indecisive of you.
Yeah, it's the Toyota Camry of. it's the beige Toyota Camry of. Keyforge decks.
So right. To be clear, it's either a banger
or not.
Or a bomb bomb.
No, it's not. It's either a banger or not. And I'm calling not.
So Dan just called it a bomb bomb. So he thinks it's a bomb bomb.
Sure. If you have to
say the words, Dan, say bomb
no.
bomb.
Say it.
We're triggering Dan.
Bomb bomb.
Yes.
Yeah, he thinks it's a bomb bomb.
There we go. Yeah. Shitty bomb bomb going straight to charity.
Hey, is that Keyforge deck up there the one that we're missing?
No, it's
no.
not.
The other one, the one that's in Knopf's cubby.
Yeah, I want to
no,
talk about
not.
Something for a second since we're on the topic of freshies. Scott and I popped freshies about a week ago, and I got a really bad draw with a deck. And then we swapped decks to kind of simulate a little bit of a league feel for fun. And Scott crushed me. He found this epic synergy where he was using Nepenthe Seed and Wild Wormholes and bouncing stuff in and out. And it was just this kind of infinity loop of nutso And then Scott lost the deck.
I lost it. And not only was it that, it was one of those decks, right? The Nepenthe Seed and Library Access. Library Access. Nepenthe Seed. It was one of the, they're calling them NADS deck. Is that right?
NADS.
Library Access, Nepenthe Seed, lands. They're calling it lands deck.
Okay.
Oh, is lands. That like a big thing?
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Like people are looking combo. For them?
Yeah, it's winning. It's winning Vault Tour. Okay. And they're regional events that the friendly local gaming stores that you play up into. And those are the decks that are winning, is the freshie that you popped, that I played with, and subsequently lost.
It's got to be somewhere in the fort here, but we...
You guys have been searching for like 2 weeks for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's we gone. Also have like 14 deck boxes in here, so it's,
I mean,
it's got to be somewhere.
Time kind of slows down and speeds up in the fort, and what happens in here can...
It's a black hole.
Some of it doesn't, you don't remember what happens in the fort sometimes.
Yeah, you do a little bit of time traveling in here, and you know, especially Scott, he's got a knack for leaving things around, and I was joking that the fort is now... part of Scott's house where he has to go look for something that's lost.
Yeah, I just
so he has to search
keys.
His house, and then he has to come over to the fort and make sure it's not in the fort, and then he can rule out that he searched everywhere in his life
territory.
All right, well, I think that's all we have for today.
It was fun. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you next week
in the fort. What is going on?